Good morning, folks. Good to see you. Right, today I want to talk about a few Bible passages that have some very practical advice on how to live as a Christian. So I'll go through a few passages, and then I want to concentrate on one idea which is shared by each of these passages. So as I read them, if you listen really hard, you might be able to spot the connection. 2 Timothy 1, starting at verse 6. For this reason, I'm reminding you to fan into flames the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. Therefore, never be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, by God's power, join me in suffering for the sake of the gospel. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own accomplishments, but according to his own purpose and the grace that was given to us in the Messiah Jesus before time began. Now, however, that grace has been revealed through the coming of our Saviour, the Messiah Jesus, who has destroyed death and through the gospel has brought life and release from death into full view. For the sake of this gospel, I was appointed to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. That is why I suffer as I do. However, I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I'm convinced that he is able to protect what he has entrusted to me until the day he comes. Hold on to the pattern of healthy teaching that you've heard from me, along with the faith and love that are in the Messiah Jesus. With the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, protect the good treasure that has been entrusted to you. Right, so that's the first extract. That was 2 Timothy. Now, let's go back to Job. And you'll remember the story of Job. He went through some hard times. So, Job 27, verse 3. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Now the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not despise prophecies. Instead, test everything. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace himself make you holy in every way. And may your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, remain blameless when our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, appears. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. Right? Next one. And there's only two more to go. They're both from Hebrews. Right. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, partners in a heavenly calling, keep your focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all God's household, because he is worthy of greater glory than Moses, in the same way that the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. After all, every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful in all God's household as a servant who was to testify to what would be said later. But the Messiah was faithful as the son in charge of God's household, and we are his household if we hold on to our courage and the hope in which we rejoice. And the last one, Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, my brothers, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the household of God, let us continue to come near with sincere hearts in the full assurance that faith provides, because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us continue to hold firmly to the hope that we confess without wavering, for the one who made the promise is faithful. So, did you spot the idea that was coming to all those passages? It's an idea that's used heavily throughout the whole Bible. Let me repeat just a few of the verses taken from each of those passages. And that way it'll be dead obvious what I'm talking about. Hold on to the pattern of healthy teachings. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. Hold on to what is good. We hold on to our courage and the hope in which we rejoice. Let us continue to hold firmly to the hope that we confess without wavering. Right, you got it now. Hold on, hold fast, hold tight. That's the idea. And that's something that we're told often in the Bible. And it is pretty important. Indeed, I would say that holding on to important things can make a real difference in our daily lives. If we make that practical habit of holding on to real truth, it can change our lives significantly. It can be the key to getting us through tough times without damage. Recently, there's been a lot of talk of the damage that hard times can do to folks. COVID, economic hardship, work stress, relationship pressures, social media distortion, and many other things are being pointed at as the source of damage, lifelong problems for people. And as Christians, we're not immune to these things. Indeed, Christians are also subject to other pressures that non-Christians don't get subjected to. Jesus himself made it quite clear that being his follower isn't an option for an easy life. John 16:33, I have told you this so that through me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but be courageous, I have overcome the world. Then later in Romans, there's an even more scary picture of how things can get hard. Romans 8:35, who will separate us from the Messiah's love? Can trouble, distress, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or a violent death do this? As it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are thought of as sheep herded to the slaughter. In all these things we are triumphantly victorious due to the one who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor anything above, nor anything below, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is ours in union with the Messiah Jesus our Lord. So, as Christians, we can expect some times in life that get pretty tough. Things will go wrong, people will let you down, unexpected things will happen, and that's for sure. But what's even more sure is the last bit of that statement. Jesus has overcome the world. So if we're in the habit of holding on to the important things of God, then we're able to join with Jesus in overcoming the world. I remember a few years ago, there was this Christian t-shirt printed with a real eye-catching slogan. And that slogan was, hell is for wimps. That's a nice line, right? And it's certainly true that if you're looking for challenge in your life, if you're looking for a reason to live for, then becoming a Christian, getting to know that and follow God, is a great way to find that challenge. If you want what seems like an easy life, the gospel of Christ is not for you. But if you want a meaningful life, Jesus is exactly who you need. The sort of picture that the Bible gives of how God's people should live is one of repeated practice. It's things like discipline, building things, good habits, and none of these are short-term, quick-fix solutions. Indeed, I reckon that the Bible picture of the important things in a person's life is an interesting mix of the quick and dramatic things and long, slow things. Getting to know God, for many people, can be a quick thing. Having our life turned around, starting that relationship with God, can be a quick, dramatic thing. Indeed, it can happen today, it can happen right now. Jesus talked about being born again. And that image of birth, that moment of birth, is a quick thing. Well, okay, I know somebody who went through an 11-hour labour. That may not seem a quick thing at the time. But in the span of life, becoming a Christian can be a quick change. Or think of the story in Acts when Saul got to know God and became Paul. It describes it as like scales falling off his eyes. That's quick. That's dramatic. Or the Holy Spirit falling on the believers at the beginning of Acts. That's quick. That's dramatic. So God does move in fast and miraculous ways. But that's not the only way that God moves. In particular, I think when it comes to us responding to God, he often requires us to move in slower, more disciplined ways, steady ways, developing good habits, resisting temptations, standing up against opposition. These are often the things that build and strengthen our Christian lives. It's not the sort of thing that sounds really appealing, and it certainly doesn't fit well with a quick fix for your life sort of message. Yet, when we first get to know God, it was maybe quick and dramatic, a big instant change to our life. When God adopted us into his family, that could be called a quick fix. And that changes our eternal destination. The Bible is clear. When we become Christians, when we're born again, from that point on, we are destined for heaven, not for hell. We are adopted into God's family. But adoption is also a long-term thing. We don't take on all the trappings of the new family from day one. After we join God's family, he then wants us to grow into the children who take on his attributes. Children who reflect their Heavenly Father's character. And typically, that takes time. We have to grow, we have to mature, it has to be nurtured. Some things about our character, God will change in quick and miraculous ways. Other things, he expects us to work with him. And that can be a long, hard slog. And it's in these steps of that long road to developing Christian maturity that the instructions to hold on, to hold fast to things, is really important. The idea of hold on here, it emphasizes how you need to hold tight. Hold fast is the King James Version for it, hold fast. The word fast has changed slightly. It means hold tight. Holding on for dear life is another expression you might think of. In other words, it's something that you grip with all your strength. Think of how much you could hold on to a rope if your life depended on it. Your only hope is to grip onto this rope. It's that scale of intensity with which we should hold on to the truths of the gospel. Or if the image of dangling on a rope doesn't seem real enough for you, you could think of a wee toddler, right? She's standing by the side of a road holding her mum's hand. And there's traffic going up and down this road, whizzing up and down. And that wee girl is gripping onto her mum's hand because she knows that it's essential to keep hold of mummy to get across that scary road. That's holding on. That's holding firm. Or if you want another image, think of you're in a boat out at sea, you fall off the boat. There's a life belt floating in front of you. Somebody's thrown it down. You grab it. You grab the cord that's round the life belt and you hold on. And you've got to hold on until the boat comes to get you. It's that intensity of holding that the Bible's talking about. It's not a casual thing. You put all your strength into holding the truth. And the idea of holding tight is really important when life gets tough. When there's pressure all around, it makes a difference just how tight you hold on to God. If you're utterly convinced of the truth of the Bible and of God's love for you, you can stand when everything around you is crumbling. So if we practice holding on tight to these things, we can withstand hard times. So I guess one of the questions is exactly what should we hold on to? And there's a few answers to that. Even from the verses that I read out at the beginning, there's a little list of them there. Hold on to healthy teaching, righteousness, what is good, courage, hope, faith. And if we look at the Bible as a whole, it's a much wider list than that. The basic idea is hold on to the truth of God, the truth that is in the Bible, the truth of God's existence, the truth of God's love, the truth of God's offer of a salvation in Jesus. Hold fast to the things of God, the love of God, the character of God. So if we're looking for practical advice in all this holding on, I'd probably sum it up in this order. Hold fast to the Bible as the source of truth. Hold fast to the promises of God. Hold fast to the character of God. Now, in particular, this thing of holding tight to the promises of God is worth thinking about. When we're finding life hard, when we're under pressure, it can be good to grasp on to some of the things in the Bible where God makes a direct promise to his people. I've got a few listed here, but there are many hundreds of them all over the Bible where God makes direct promises. And the wonderful thing is that we know God never breaks his word. So, maybe if you're feeling down, needing some more drive and energy, how's about this for a promise to hold on to? Ezekiel 36:26. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit within all of your deepest parts. I'll remove that rock-hard heart of yours and replace it with one that's sensitive to me. That's quite a promise. Or if you're trapped into things that you don't want to do. 1 John 1:9, if we make it our habit to confess our sins, in his faithful righteousness, he forgives us for those sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you find old bad habits creeping back and you feel you can't get away from them. Well, here's a promise to hold on to. Psalm 103:12. As distant as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our sins from us. Or maybe you've had a day where God just seems far away from you. Then what you can hold on to is the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' own words, Luke 11:13, so if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who keep asking him? Or if you're feeling lonely or feeling weak or even feeling scared or something, here's a great promise to hold on to. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's quite a promise. Or maybe you're feeling poor. You know, money just isn't going as far as it should. Here's something to hold on to. Psalm 34:9. Fear the Lord, you holy ones of his. For those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will never lack any good thing. Or when you need healing, there's lots of things in the Bible. Here's one promise to hold on to. Exodus 15:26, he said, if you will carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in his eyes, listen to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, then I won't inflict on you all the diseases that I inflicted on the Egyptians, because I am the Lord your healer. So the Bible's full of the promises of God. And those are a great thing to hold on to. When we've got problems, when we're unsure of anything, hold on to God's promises. But even more than holding on to God's promises, it's important to hold on to what we know about God's character. In everything, let's just acknowledge how big, how wonderful, how loving God is. And it's by holding on to what we know of God, we can stand in a storm. We're all different people. Our lives are different. Our characters are different. Our experiences are all different. So what we need to hold on to is also different. What things are most important to you? Which of those do you need to hold on to? It could be God's grace. It could be God's forgiveness. It could be Jesus' love. It could be the work of the Holy Spirit. It could be your experience of new life. It could be the promise of heaven. It could be being released from the fear of death. What we need to hold on to varies from person to person, and it varies with our circumstances. So, maybe you already have a favourite set of Bible verses. You can hold fast to those by repeating them to yourself. Or you could strengthen your grip on those by looking them up again. Looking at your favourite verses in context, read the verses before and after. Expand your understanding of what those mean. or look them up in a different version of the Bible. That can sometimes be a way to just reinforce what they tell you about God. Or you can find new Bible verses to hold on to, which maybe new verses would be what you need at this time. So, here's a challenge. A challenge for this week. This week, why don't you ask God what he wants you to hold on to? Ask him what he wants you to grip onto every day of this week. Hold it firm. It may be something different each day. It may be one thing that you need to keep grip of all week. And it might be a few things. It might be, there's a whole range of things that you might need to hold. I'd suggest, here's just a few to think about. Think of God's character. His love, his mercy, his generosity, his power, his forgiveness. Are those the things you want to hold on to this week? Or maybe you're the sort of person who it's easier to think of human attributes rather than godly attributes, in which case, let's focus on Jesus. Maybe you want to hold on to Jesus' miracles, Jesus' love, Jesus' touch, Jesus' suffering, Jesus' victory. So, let me suggest, make it your aim this week to get a firmer grip on something, something godly. Get a firm grip on something that God gives you this week. And exercise that grip so that it becomes a grip that will never slacken. Hold fast to the things of God. Thank you.